Good morning and welcome to Emmett Audio. I've been out of the loop because we went up to northwestern Maine to watch the solar eclipse yesterday, Monday the 8th of April, and that was an incredible experience. And we had a lovely time. We had three families with five adults and six kids, and then some additional extended family and friends as well that came just on the day of the eclipse, but we were there the day before. And then driving back, we managed to miss a lot of the traffic, but still got caught in some of it, and it's a long enough drive that we were 8 hours in the car. Got in at 2 at night, and so then basically all of us slept in at various amounts. I just walked the younger daughter to school, but my wife got someone to cover for her for a couple hours. She went in late with the older daughter, and we all got up at various amounts of late. And, you know, it makes me so aware of how your life as an individual human being really is a zero-sum game, in the sense that you only have a certain amount of time. You cannot increase that time. And in order to function well, you need a certain amount of sleep. Now, ideally, your sleep should come within the same rough window as it normally does. And staying up till 2 definitely pushed our boundaries. I can stay up till midnight and get up at 7, and basically it's not different than what I normally do. But to go to bed at 2:15, like we did, and get up, well, I got up at 8:30. After getting up at 6 to deal with the old dog. This really discombobulates you. Now I'm going to spend much of my day unpacking from the trip and vacuuming the house, getting things squared away, which is a real luxury to have that. But I've been thinking a lot about sleep and how, you know, we're so tempted to think, oh, I'll just stay up late and do that, right? Or I'll get up early and do that. But when it comes to your sleep, because your time is a zero-sum game, it's only trade-offs. There's no free time that you could take from your sleep here and not have to pay for it there. You will pay for it one way or the other, either by feeling crappy, and you might feel crappy even if you just shift your sleep too much, or by not having enough of it. And you can have an insufficient amount of sleep that's just a little under that catches up with you, and that can be somewhat course corrected by having a good night's sleep. But if you think to yourself that you're going to get up an hour earlier and do stuff without going to bed an hour earlier, you're kidding yourself. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to suffer for it. Because, as I said, there's no free time when it comes to time that you take from your sleep. Now, there is free time when it comes to assessing what your priorities are for the time you are awake and making different choices or layering things on top of one another, right? Me doing this podcast while walking my daughter to school is a layered choice that allows me to do this thing that doesn't detract from my experience of walking, although it is different. but allows me to use this time to do that, which frees up time that I otherwise would have used to do the podcast to do something else. And there we can make choices of swapping things out one for the other. But you cannot swap out doing something for your sleep without paying a price. And you might pay the price immediately in terms of feeling crappy, or you might train yourself to, you know, shovel your way through it with caffeine or whatever, but you will pay the price with your health in the long run. Now, it's always possible that you're getting too much sleep and cutting back on sleep will actually work better for you. You know, different times in our lives, we need different amounts of sleep, and it varies from person to person. So you might go from being someone who needs 8 hours of sleep to being someone who needs 6 hours of sleep. And actually, that's what your body wants. But that's a whole separate conversation. And so I think part of what we did right coming back from the eclipse here was just recognizing, you know, my wife was thinking that she was just going to function on 4 hours of sleep or whatever and go to work. And I'm so glad that she didn't, because I think the thing that we did right was recognize that if you're going to take time out of your night's sleep at one end, you'd better give it to yourself at the other end. Because there's just, you are courting bodily dysfunction and accidents, etc. If you do that. I've heard that, you know, the number of times doctors who work incredibly ridiculous shifts get in their car to drive home after it, get in an accident, and then are brought right back to the hospital where they just had that shift is, you know, feels silly. And I think that's a great example of us thinking that we can simply shove off the time we need for sleep and recovery. And there's this obsession that we have in the culture of, you know, thinking and productivity in terms of, like, something that's very malleable and something where the sheer quantity of time ostensibly spent doing a thing equates to the amount of value gotten out of the day. But that's not how it works. And if you look at people who have accomplished things that we still talk about to this day, creative things, or just people who seem like they are, you know, are leading a happy life where they get a lot of stuff done. A lot of times it's not so much that they put their nose to the grindstone as that they are very clear about what it is that they are prioritizing doing. And they also prioritize rest and recovery and taking care of their health, you know, going for walks, that sort of thing. And I think the idea that a task will expand to fill the time you give it is very real and carries a very real risk of, you know, either we assume, you know, we have a list of tasks and we feel like, well, we just need to knuckle down and these are the things we're going to be doing all day, and then we spend all day doing those tasks that could have taken us far less time if we had simply given ourselves less time. Or sometimes people run the opposite way and they cram more and more and more and more into their day so that they're racing about going incredibly fast, but not doing any of those things, not having as much judgment as they could about which things actually matter and which move the needle on the various things that you want to move the needle on in your life, right? Whether it's work-related or household or family or personal health or whatever it is. So they're kind of two sides of the same coin. Giving too much time to too few tasks, or giving or cramming too many tasks into your time and sort of giving, feeling like all of your time is full by all of these things. And you need to do both. You need to both cull down the amount of things that you're trying to do to the essential things, and cull down the amount of time that you're giving to those things, so that you're asking yourself to do the essential things in a very limited amount of time to hold open time for balance in your life. And if all you do is cull down the number of tasks, but you don't cull down the time associated with that you give yourself, right? If you say, okay, I'm only trying to do these things, but then I'm sort of not putting enough time constraint on it, well, those tasks will expand to fill the time you give it, and then you still won't have time for recovery. You'll just spend your time doing a fewer number of things. And you can say, well, but I'm doing them extremely well. And I would say that's not necessarily so. That spending more time doing something means that you're doing a better job of it. There is a relationship there, but many times you you get both the 80% of the quality from 20% of the time, but you also get more creative leaps when you give yourself time constraints on something, because it feels like, because it feels like something where you, well, that time constraint means that you're going to, here, Will, I'm going to take off your leash. Hold on, I'm going to unclip you. Here we go. Those time constraints force you to think and behave differently than you would if you didn't have as much time constraint. And you'll end up doing different things than you otherwise would. Willa, come on, let's go. Hey, I didn't unclip you so you could just take your time. Let's go. Come on. Well, clearly I'm still a little slow this morning. I'm going to go unpack a minivan's worth of stuff and then clean the house. Thank you so much for listening. Talk tomorrow.